Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Mike Palm. He's in for the vacationing Pauly Howard for the rest of the week. In this hour, Tim Murray's going to join the program. He is hosting a special NBA betting show tonight here on the network, following us for 4 hours with Matt Youmans. We'll get his latest takeaways before the event actually starts and a little bit more on Major League Baseball. I asked Youmans this yesterday about getting into player props in Major League Baseball. You know, this time of year, Mike, there's no more NBA, obviously. The NHL is done, and you have a heavy dose of Major League Baseball games every single day and maybe a little bit of the WNBA. Other than that, forget about the weekends. I mean, you're not going to have golf, NASCAR, any of that kind of stuff. So do you do player props?
I'd like to do pitching props.
Okay.
But really not. I don't do home run props. I know that's the big thing now, right? These guys are coming with all these parlays of home run props. But I like to do my favorite player prop is outs recorded. And different variations of pitcher props, earned run, under, over, earned runs allowed, sometimes to record the win. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to play.
Did you play, we mentioned this game briefly earlier, the game last night to me had over outs written all over it for both guys. And it was Suarez for the Phillies going against Valdez and the Astros.
They both went seven, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I did not. Yeah. I did not. I let that Jensen Lewis character talk me off of this Framber early in the year. Remember when I played the game with him, ace, fake ace? And he said, Framber's the biggest fake ace of them all. Meanwhile, he started out horribly.
Yeah, he
was like 1-5, and his ERA was over 5, I think, through 8 starts. He's really rebounded here, so I haven't got involved. I played his outs props over in a game in Kansas City where he threw a complete game in a 2-0 loss on the road. He recorded 24 outs. It was 17.5 that night. Otherwise, I really haven't been cashing in on this run.
I think I've known you've been coming on this show specifically with us since, what, 2018?
Many years. I think so.
So it's like, you know, 7+ years at this point. I want to say, as a hardcore baseball guy, and we've talked about that, you know, that sport often with you, I think Valdez is like your favorite pitcher since I've known you. Over time.
Yeah, probably. I like Wheeler a lot, but Framber has been good to me. And the year that he had the 26 consecutive quality starts and wasn't in the finalist,
yes.
He wasn't. Who was the kid? The punchy kid from Toronto was a finalist that year. I can't think of the name because he got knocked out of base. Alex Manoa was one of the three finalists that year. Framber was not that year. That's the Astros penalty they pay for the cheating years, but.
Who won it that year? Was that the Robbie Ray year?
I don't know. Whatever year I didn't bet Robbie Ray is always the Robbie Ray year.
Okay, yeah.
You had me on him at 50-1 the one year.
we'll get that. But so here's what we have now at VSiN. And we have teamed up with Ballpark Pal. And I have been subscribing to it. It's ballparkpal.com. And you can get their projections. You can get their Nerfy. Numbers every single day, and then you can also get like the strikeout props and who's going that day. And what they're going to give you is they're going to give you the projected line that their models make for the pitcher that night. That's the projected line. Then the model projection is the number of strikeouts that the Ballpark Pal model expects. And then they also give you projected odds. That's what the model calculates the true odds should be. And then they'll also give you the consensus line that's available. So I'll give you one for tonight. Their projected line for Zach Wheeler is 8.5, and the model says 8.51. Their projected odds for that to go over is even money. Well, you can find Wheeler to have 9+ Ks tonight at +280. To them, that's like 90% value. So you're going to get all of that then, and that even if like the projection is right on the money, if the odds don't make sense, then it's going to tell you if it's not worth a bet, or if they do make sense, then it's going to be worth a bet. There's an example right now. Nick Pivetta, their projection was 6.56 Ks today, and their projected number on that over was -103. Well, he was +132 to go over 6.5. That's almost 18% of value there. And he had 9 today at last check to go over.
Yeah.
And there's another one.
Do you use a certain number over the posted number that triggers a bet? Is it two over, something like that?
I will. So on their website, they will break down the exact number, their percentage of Ks that the guy's going to have on that day from 0 through 10 or 10 plus, right?
Okay.
And so if I'm looking to play an over, for example, and that number might be 6.5, and I don't know, in a perfect world, it might be plus money. But their projections say that the guy has got, and it'll be like in different colors, right? So like the heavy blue is like pretty strong. And some guys have been like 6.5 or maybe 7.5 with plus money to the over. And it'll be heavy blue with the number like 20 plus percent to have 10 plus Ks. And then I add up like, well, that's 10 plus. What's the percent to land on 9, to land on 8, and to land on 7? And if it's like 62% and I can get, I'm just throwing out numbers right now, and I can find plus money on that, of course I'm going to make that bet because they have pretty strong projections here.
Do you ladder them when they have a big variance over the posted number?
Yeah, I have. I have. Another one today that has been a good one. It's Kikuchi. The projected line was 7.5. Their model showed 7.35. Their projected odds over was plus 112. Well, books were offering plus 133. That's almost 10% of value. Kikuchi today for the Angels. They are leading right now 4-2 over the Red Sox in the bottom of the sixth. 92 pitches, 6 innings, 11 Ks. Kikuchi at home has been a thing that you need to circle. His ERA entering this game today was 1.31 in 7 starts with a whip of 1.18. And he allowed 2 runs today. None of them were earned. So, and the Red Sox, by the way, are top 5 in baseball in WRC plus and WOBA against left-handed pitching. So Kikuchi at home is definitely a thing that you want to kind of jot down. And I'll try to find one that looks good for tonight. Oh, this is the one that I bet. It's Jacob Lopez for the A's. Their projected number on him is 5.98 Ks. And their odds to go over were minus 128 at 5.5. Well, odds are available at plus 116, 21% of value there. So I bet him over today, over 5.5. I think it was plus 114 when I grabbed it.
Who did you say that is?
That's Lopez going tonight for the A's. Yeah.
Against the Tigers.
Now, I'll give you a couple of other things to tag onto that. In recent starts here for Lopez, he had 9 in his last game. And I want to get the exact opponents here. My computer is loading as we speak. In fact, the last 2 starts for Jacob Lopez, he has struck out exactly 9 batters. And we're talking about against good competition, by the way. And for some reason right now, my computer is not allowing it to pop up. But it's been against teams that don't strike out a ton for Lopez, and he was like ringing them up for 9-9 in both of those games. So to me, even though the Tigers have season-long numbers that are pretty good against left-handed pitching, to me that was worth a bet with his recent form. And also, he had 9 against Houston. Houston's the best team against lefties in the whole league. And he had a 9 against KC, and KC's not a very heavy strikeout team. So based on all that stuff, I made a bet on him over 5.5 tonight, plus 114, I think.
What did they project Gore for today?
Let me see here. They made it at negative value on his K prop over 5.5.
Really?
But a small negative. I think he finished with 6.
So it's a pass, basically.
That one basically would have been a pass, and he eventually did go over that number.
How about Mizorowski?
They had, so the number on him was 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
They projected him at 6.04 strikeouts for tonight, and he ended up with 8.
8, yeah.
Yeah, so that got there. And I think to get the 6 plus on him at some spots might have been plus money in the game. So anyway, I like betting K props as well. The home run props, I had fun with that throughout the summer, or earlier in the summer. And then you lose a couple of them or go like 3 days in a row with losing them. You're like, well, this isn't fun anymore.
The year was 2022, Mitch. Framber Valdez made 31 starts. He went 17-6 with a 2.82 ERA, pitched 202 innings,
wow.
194 Ks. First that year was Justin Verlander, his Astros teammate, who went 18-4 with a 1.75. Dylan Cease finished 2nd.
For the White Sox.
Alec Manoah finished 3rd. Shohei Ohtani finished 4th.
Ohtani finished ahead of Valdez.
Uh-huh. 82 points. Framber had 14 points. He received 1/4 and 12 fifth place votes. Oh. Pretty amazing.
I forgot that Verlander actually had a better year that year.
Yeah, he had a great year.
A 1.75 ERA?
Yeah, 18-4.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Bet smarter this football season, and VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st, and early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. I know Matt Eumanns was busy writing his column on the AFC West for the betting guide just this week. Crazy Bill 80, he's at it again. Look at this deal. Just $175, Mitch, for full VSiN Pro access from today all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get a daily best bets email from all our experts and guests that Bill puts out every morning early. Real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and us here at Circa. Live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app and full access to VSiN.com. All those terrific articles, the tools, the analytics, and the pro systems. How do you do it? Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and lock in our football special for just $175 all the way through Super Bowl. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
All right, we'll tell you how some of the numbers have shifted in the NBA draft from this morning, in fact, until right now. And also, I want to expand on the baseball card for tonight, because there is a guy who is going in this situation. You will not believe his numbers. And you think that he might be live to win the Cy Young Award this year. Find out who that is next here on VSiN. So there's a replay going on right now in Major League Baseball as the Padres lead the Nats by a score of 1-0, bottom of the eighth. Tatis just tried to steal second, and they called him safe, and they have now shown the replay like six times. I don't know. To me, he was out by a foot, and the guy called. He's looking right at him like this, safe. They're checking it out right now, but if he's actually going to, if they're going to allow this to stand, he'll be on second base with one out, and it looks like Sheets is at the plate right now for the Padres.
There's the call. Safe.
I don't know what I'm missing. I honestly don't know. I thought at first maybe Abrams dropped the ball, because Abrams looked right back at the dugout and said, yeah, we got to look at this one. The one replay was so perfect, and I don't know how the umpire, and now they had all those replays that we just did, and they missed it. This is happening bang, bang during the break here. I'm trying to check it out here at the biggest sports book in the world. We have a pretty good vantage point. You know what I'm saying? And they still call them safe.
Is he blocking the path?
I don't think he was.
Yeah.
I don't think he was.
There was a play, I think it was in the Cleveland-Toronto game last night, where like the throw on a steal took the shortstop right into the path where he was like laying in the base path.
Oh, boy.
And tagged the runner out. Is he out? No challenge?
No challenge, nothing.
For obstruction or anything like that.
We're good to go here. Nothing to see.
Do you ever watch the KBO, the Korean?
Pandemic, I gave it a shot.
How about recently?
No,
the replay system is unbelievable. They have a microphone. The umpires go over. I'm telling you, it's 30 seconds or less. They come back, boom. They've got every angle. They've got the technology.
Really?
Right away, they find the shot. There's a definitive call.
In KBO, but not here.
It's incredible in KBO. How good the replays is. But they're holding a microphone like they were a lounge singer. And then they make the announcement.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Okay. Maybe they can embrace something like that here?
Maybe we could look at what other people do well.
Talk me off this bet for tonight.
Okay.
In baseball. We mentioned this briefly a little earlier, but for the new audience, let me give you some numbers here with Logan Webb. Right? On the road this year, he's made 8 starts. The ERA is 3.75. When he stays at home, which is where he's pitching tonight, in 8 starts on the year, the ERA is 1.35. So it's a full 2.5 runs better at home than on the road. His whip is 1. Ks per 9 are a little bit lower at home than they are on the road. But this is a guy who has only allowed 6 home runs on the entire year, 2 of those coming at home. In night games, his ERA is exactly 2 so far on the year. And this game is starting tonight at 9:45 p.m. Eastern time on the East Coast, 6:45 at Oracle Park. But in 4 home starts at night, to break it down even more, it's 29 and one-third innings pitched with a 0.31 ERA. The hit rate, the hard hit rate is 20%. Like, you're barely getting bats on the ball against this guy. The whip is sub-0, 9, a 24% K rate, 5 straight starts of at least 6 innings pitched for him, and 8 out of 9. He went 7 innings in 6 of those starts, by the way, and he has pitched at least 6 innings in every home start but one, and has recorded 21-plus outs in 5 of them. His outs prop tonight is 20.5. Again, I looking back at this stuff over the last couple of years, I cannot recall one being that high. So he's got to go 7 strong to beat you tonight. Juice like at minus 125. But he's getting this Marlins offense, and he is absolutely elite at home. I kind of want to bet it. Can you talk me off the ledge?
What are the number of average hits that he allows? Do you know that? Do you know that number?
When he's at home at night?
Yeah. His hits prop is 6.5.
I'll try to find that right now.
I guess it's higher because of the number of innings he's going to throw. Can I interest you in an under 1.5 earned runs, plus 115?
Plus 115.
Under 1.5 earned runs allowed.
He can still go 7 strong and give up 2 runs, though. Yeah.
He could.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah. Or he could give up unearned runs.
That's true. That's true.
Von Tobel did this with Hunter Brown the other night. The Angels' first 5 team total was under 1.5, and you had to lay like 140. Or you could take Hunter Brown under 1.5 earned runs allowed, and it was plus 120. He took the Hunter Brown. He gave up 1-6, 1 earned in 6. So he cashed that ticket at a plus price instead of having to lay. But,
okay. What do you see? Can you bet that? How many earned runs will he allow in the first 5?
No, it's just for per start.
That's for
that
the game.
I find, yeah.
All right, I will try to get you all those numbers here before it's too late on him allowing the hits overall. I did not write that one down today when I was looking, but I can grab that here as long as my computer cooperates.
San Francisco Giants will not concede a run after 9 innings. A shutout prop.
What is that
interested
number?
Interested in that? Plus 460.
Oh, man, I'd need a little bit more to bet a shutout,
okay,
though.
Okay.
Right? I mean, don't you need, like, you know, on any given night, with who, doesn't matter who's pitching.
How about he'll allow 3 or less earned runs in 6 innings? How about that one?
I like that one.
You like that one?
I kind of like that one.
Only minus 750.
Okay. You got me good. Yeah. Make a number on this one, Mitch. Well, I'll take even money right now. I think the rest of the world would as well. All right, so that's one that I want to add tonight. And Wheeler is going against Gordon tonight for the Astros.
Yeah.
Wheeler, again, one of your guys. And by the way, Webb is the one guy you're considering adding tonight for
Cy
Young.
I have Wheeler, so I have that part of the Cy Young covered. I would consider adding Webb. Maybe, you know, Skeens, what did he give, a 4 earned today?
Yeah, right.
You got a shot here. I mean, Skeens could end up like 7-15. With the amount of runs they score for this guy, is he now 4-7? Let's just say he ends up 8-14. I know Felix Hernandez won it one year at 12-12 or 13-13 or whatever he was that
That's
year.
Right.
But do you see a Cy Young winner being 7-14?
That seems kind of unlikely. And by the way, again, we have 3 months of baseball left.
A lot.
And he was priced higher than $3 to win the Cy Young. And he has a bad start like this, and he's like minus 250 now. Like, he can have a couple more of those, by the way. And that's when, and by couple, I mean.
How about if the Pirates shut him down if they're 40 games out?
Sure, I mean, you have that angle as well. And you have, like, Wheeler, whose track record is absolutely immaculate. Webb is right there with him. And if they're just absolutely stellar, to me, it's crazy talk to have a guy priced at minus 250 to win the Cy Young right now.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think Judge at minus whatever he is outrageous too.
Yeah. Well, he was minus, I think he got to minus 10,000 at one point, maybe a little bit higher. All right. So these numbers, by the way, tonight for the NBA draft and how they have changed, Tim Murray's going to join us coming up in about 8 minutes. He is hosting a special NBA draft betting show with Matt Humans for 4 hours after us tonight. Edgecombe was minus 275 earlier this morning to go third overall. He's now $6. Knapel was minus 170. He was even money in that range to be a top 5 pick earlier this morning. He's minus 1,000 to be a top 5 pick now. And he's minus 250 to go fourth overall. Fears was plus 190, like right before our show started. He's minus 125 right now to go. That's fifth overall. But you think there's an angle where he does
sixth.
It?
I think he can go sixth. What's the? Do you have that price on sixth?
Yeah,
for fear it's got to be that. What 2-1, 3-1.
I think it was 3-1 at last check. Yep,
I'd take a shot at that.
And then
I'm not sold that the whole world needs Ace Bailey.
But so then who would go fifth over Fears at that point?
Well, I think that if Bailey's still alive at five, he might go to Utah at five. If you're talking about teams are trading up to three to get him, if he's still there for Utah at five, who's Washington going to take or who's going to take Fears? Let's say Bailey goes third. Who's going to take Fears before Washington? Is Utah going to take him? I think there are several scenarios where Fears can go to the Wizards at six.
He is currently plus 360 to go sixth overall.
Worth a little pizza money.
Okay. Yeah, because it seems a little bit too convenient right now. If you go just on the odds, right? Like, the first six picks are all odds on. Is it really going to pan out that way?
So they should offer the super high five, the top five in order.
I think FanDuel's right. doing that right now.
Are they doing that? Yeah. That would be a good bet.
Yeah, because I don't know. That just doesn't that kind of, if we know that much information and it's out there right now, doesn't that kind of ruin the event?
Of course it does. What if you had the NFL draft and the top five guys were all minus $5-6 and higher? It would be, you know,
I think that
it would
like,
be a depression in the amount of people that would want to be involved.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I think this last year in the draft, in the NFL draft, that is, I think some of those guys were like minus money to go wherever, and it didn't shake out that way. Some of them were wrong, I think, because of what happened with was it Will Graham overall when they when he was selected there? Yeah, that threw everybody for a little bit of a loop. So I don't know. It seems like it's convenient tonight. Like, oh, we know the order already, but I don't know.
You know, at least in the NFL draft, these people are all household names. Like the world knows who they are, right?
Right.
Like some of these people are really niche into right because there's foreign players and they're that you really have to follow this to know a lot about.
Oh, you have to just be hardcore about it. And even if you're a casual college basketball fan. You're not
I know the kid. The kid from Arizona. I watch play more than any of these guys.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there will be some names up there where people are going to be like, I've never heard of him before in my entire life. So anyway, we'll get Tim Murray on the program coming up next. What are his best bets as of right now? And is he buying into this? Like we already know the top five or the top six picks.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on NBA Draft Day. Following us, VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray, Matt Eumanns, and they're going to be doing a special NBA Draft betting show. They're on the air for 4 hours tonight, and Tim Murray joins the program now. Thanks, pal. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, fired up. Excited. You know, anytime we could have some sort of special programming in late June, I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You sign up for that every single time.
Yeah, right.
So we were just talking about this. Does it seem like it's a little bit too convenient? Like the top six picks are all odds on right now.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And look, I've got a couple of bets. I do have Jeremiah Fears to go top five. Last night it was plus 250, and now it's, you know, dropped all the way to odds on. So I am of the – while I have some bets in pocket, I'm not convinced something wacky's not going to happen. And I just heard, I think it was Shams Charania, who was kind of the assumption that something's going to happen tonight. When you look at specifically the Brooklyn Nets, I think they're the most fascinating team tonight. They have five first round picks. No team in the history of the NBA has made five picks in the first round. So you would imagine they're going to make moves. Is it to move up to get an Ace Bailey? You know, could we see a Philadelphia? Mike, you brought this up off air. Could Philadelphia at three move back and acquire some sort of veteran presence? That could be an interesting spot too. So I agree. It does feel like here we are, you know, an hour and a half away from the start of this thing, and everything is all buttoned up. It seems a little too easy, doesn't it?
Is Philadelphia the first team you think has the possibility of making a trade.
Yeah. It does seem like everything you hear, obviously Cooper Flagg's going to go one to Dallas, and then Dylan Harper. I haven't heard anything or even anyone question the thought that he's not going to be the selection for San Antonio. So, you know,
and the Spurs are not trading that pick.
No.
Not tonight.
No. And we've heard, you know, and you think back to the early part of the process when the lottery unfolded, you know, during the playoffs, you thought, ooh, maybe they could put together a package to go get a Giannis. That's obviously, it, as for now, doesn't seem like it's ultimately going to happen. So it does feel like it starts at three, but then you look at the betting board and VJ Edgecombe is minus 550 to be the third overall pick. So it does feel like maybe it starts at four, but then the more and more you read about it, Charlotte seems convinced as of now that they're going Cotton Knipple at four. So I do think something's happening, and you know, maybe it's at five. Is it definitely going to be Jeremiah Fears? You read what Jonathan Givony over at ESPN wrote today about Danny Ainge's son now taking over, and they had a private workout with Jeremiah Fears, and that's going to be the guy there at five. So yeah, it's pretty wild to see how everything has shifted from a betting standpoint now that Fears, once again, last night we were on the air. He was plus 250 to be a top five pick, and now he's a -$1.25.
Oh, okay. So this is at FanDuel as we speak, the exact order, right? They are letting you bet the top four in order or the top five. The top four right now, all the favorites, minus 350. But the top five, Flag 1, Harper 2, Edgecombe 3, Knipple 4, Fears 5 is minus 105. If it doesn't go that way, like, which pick is it going to be?
I think it might be 5. You know, I think Fears seems like that he's going to be the guy at 5. I do have a bet on him to be a top 5 pick, so essentially I was betting him to be the 5th overall pick. Maybe it's 5, but I once again, I go back to Brooklyn. Does Brooklyn make the move? Because all indications are, if Ace Bailey is going to drop all the way to 6 to Washington, who reportedly, according to Kristen Peek of Yahoo, said that they had a private workout with Ace Bailey today, is it Brooklyn that could jump over Washington? Is it them at number 5? Is it going up to 4, 3, whatever it may be? So I think Ace Bailey's that kind of wild card. Everything, the draft process has been tumultuous for him. He's not working out for anybody. He only wants to go to, apparently, Washington, New Orleans, or Brooklyn. Does Brooklyn make that move to go up and get an Ace Bailey? That's where I think it could be interesting. So at -$1.05, I can't say play it, because I think there could be, with a team with the ammunition like a Brooklyn, there could be a move that happens.
If they really want him, do they have to go to number 3?
I don't think so. No. I don't know. I don't think so. It feels like, look, we could be all getting hoodwinked here, and the Philadelphia 76ers could say, whatever, man, we're taking Ace Bailey. He's the best player on our board, and we're drafting him at 3. It could happen, but the odds would indicate that it's VJ Edgecombe. But Philadelphia could be that team that maybe they say, look, we could utilize an asset. We could move back. We could get some future picks. We could utilize more, you know, pieces here. Look, I think Philadelphia is fascinating. We had on Jeff Sherman yesterday, and he was of the belief, as was my co-host last night, Will Hill, that at 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference, and I think at 35 or 40-1 to win the title, here we go again. Do you take a shot at Philadelphia, especially if they can get someone that can come in and contribute right away, like a VJ Edgecombe?
I guess if you're ever going to make the case one more time for Philadelphia, just because of all the injuries in the East.
Here's what I'll say, just, you know, throwing it out there. What if they traded back from 3 to 8 with Brooklyn? Brooklyn goes up, gets Ace Bailey. Things kind of fall the way that it seems like right now. Knipple goes 4. You know, it's 5 is Fears. I don't know who would end up going to Washington at 6. What if Philadelphia is able to get a guy like Trey Johnson at 8?
I was just going to say this. Why is there not more love for Trey Johnson?
That's the one I don't understand. I think Trey Johnson is an absolute stud. I think he's arguably the best shooter in this class. And if I'm Oklahoma City and he's dropping, I'm like, I've got 5 first-round picks next year. I've got 2 first-round picks this year. I watched every second of those finals as you guys did. What was the weakness, the glaring weakness of the champion that has everybody coming back? Shooting. And if you could get a 40% three-point shooter in Trey Johnson, if he's dripping down, okay. I'd just be curious. That's the one. And Givony, I think, on ESPN yesterday or 2 days ago kind of indicated they could sniff around. They could get aggressive. Maybe not aggressive to get into the top 8, but a team in Oklahoma City that has everyone under contract coming back next year, two first-round picks, a mid-second round this year, I believe four or five first-round picks next year. Could you see Sam Presti at some point just saying, yeah, whatever, let's go be aggressive. Let's get a guy that can come in and maybe contribute right away.
I think it's really hard to run it back. You've seen eight different champions the last 8 years, and I think they need to improve.
Yeah.
And they need to be aggressive early and not say, we're going to be around, we're going to be in the West Finals for 5 years.
Can't
and we
assume,
don't need
right?
to change it. We don't need to change anything.
I would love for Oklahoma City to get aggressive tonight. You've stockpiled all these picks.
Right?
You've been brilliant in this rebuild. It's been much faster than anticipated. And now you've got this treasure trove. Utilize him, man. Go up and get someone that could come in right away. That would be pretty fascinating to me.
And Johnson is like the perfect fit, I think.
Wouldn't it be?
Coming off the bench for that team, can go bombs away. You're exactly right. Like, that's what they needed. The one glaring weakness to the team, their outside shooting.
Right.
Against the Pacers. So is there any other bet that you're looking at tonight? A top 10, a top 20?
The one that is pretty fascinating to me. So the story that came out earlier this week was of the French kid, Noah Essengai. He left his team. He plays in the German league. He left his team in the middle of the playoffs to come to the States. He hasn't done any workouts with anybody because he was playing in the German league. He left his team in the middle of the playoffs to come over to the States. Everyone's freaking out. This was either yesterday or 2 days ago. And what happens immediately? Zoop. Money comes in on the over. Boom, 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 boom. It's now minus $2 over 9.5 for this kid, Essengai. Well, he lands in Toronto, has a private workout with the Toronto Raptors. And then yesterday, he's meeting with the media. And this was pretty interesting. And this is why I love betting the draft. And this is where I think things get kind of fascinating. He meets with the media, and someone asks him, hey, who do you style your game after? He goes, oh, you know, I like Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes, and Kawhi Leonard. Where have they all played? Toronto.
Toronto.
Interesting. And they've been linked to Toronto. He's been linked to Toronto quite a bit. And his over-under 9.5, I still think, is juiced to the over. So I think at this point, he's minus $2 to go in the top 10, but he's plus money to under 9.5. The market's just been a little wacky with that. So I think if you're looking for a plus money play right now, Noah Essengai to be the 9th overall pick or under 9.5, if you can get some plus money, maybe worth a shot there. I do have that bet in pocket. I bet it last night. I bet it both top 10, which was minus 115 last night, and then exactly 9, which was 3-1 last night, and now is odds on at DraftKings.
Where does the Gators point guard Walter Clayton Jr. end up?
Love this question because he worked out twice for the Miami Heat, Mike, and then said, I'm good. I'm not working out with anybody else. And then I saw there was an interview during the Final Four, and I don't know, maybe I'm being crazy, but John Fanta interviewed him, and I think he asked a question like, if you could have dinner with anybody, who would it be? And his first answer was, it would be Eric Spoelstra.
Okay.
So there's just weird connection there.
Sure.
And once again, once you see these things where he works out with the team twice and then shuts it down, there might have been some sort of assurance there. So you've seen massive movement towards Walter Clayton Jr. in the top 20 market. And exactly to go number 20, I wish the juice was a little more worth the squeeze. I think it's like plus 125. But I think Walter Clayton Jr. going to the Heat at 20 makes a lot of sense.
Well, I hope for your sake and for humans as well, I hope you get chaos for the next 4 hours.
It'll be fun.
Honestly, right?
It would be fun.
Live on the air.
I think we're going to get it.
I hope so. I really do. That's Tim Murray. Primetime's following us for 4 hours, a special NBA draft betting show. We'll get in-pocket plays, what we're betting next here on VSiN.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
Betting baseball can be a suicide mission sometimes. Yesterday, for example, I was making the case, and I was asking Matt Humans throughout the show, should we all like bet Severino plus 1.5 runs against Skubal? Huge number, right? Skubal was laying more than $3. You can grab like plus 120 with the run. Severino's numbers on the year on the road were awesome, right? Sub one ERA. Scooble's velocity had been down like last four starts. He kind of talked me out of it, didn't bet it. It's 2-0 A's. It's 4-2 A's. I'm like, my phone's blown up. Did you bet them? I'm like, of course not. I wussed out on that one. They lost 7-4 or whatever the score was, right? And it would have been a losing bet.
Yep.
The bet I did make was the Braves. They're down 3-0. I gave up tracking the game. Like, Strider just doesn't have it tonight. Braves are getting nothing on offense whatsoever. And then my phone starts blowing up again. Hey, you're in pretty good shape now. They came roaring back and they won the game. Minus 130 on the Braves last night. Happened to be a winner.
11-4. The A's lost to the Tigers.
11-4 was the score. Okay. So I got bailed out a little bit yesterday because I added the Braves game late and I was thinking about betting the A's all day long and didn't do it.
On Monday when I was here with humans, he hemmed and hawed about betting the Reds against the Yankees because of this Winans kid that was starting. He went back and did the research. He went back and looked at his 8 starts with the Braves in 2022 and 23 and made this case for playing the Reds against him. I don't think he ended up doing it. Of course, the Reds have won both those games. But.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the bet that I'm on for tonight, the game's underway, but I did mention this earlier in the show today. He's going right now. It's Jacob Lopez for the Yays. Opposing starters are on a 21-5 overrun with their K-prop against Detroit. Lopez struck out 9 Astros in his last start. Houston's pretty much an all-righty lineup, and they have like some of the best numbers in baseball against lefties. And he also struck out 9 against the Royals in his previous start. Royals are not a very high strikeout team. So I bet over 5.5 plus 114 in this game against Detroit tonight.
I've got, those are my plays from Monday. I missed the Malinsky on the White Sox coming back from that 3-game set in Toronto. I apologize.
Oh, I missed it as well. There was a 3-game road.
Okay. Yeah, a 3-game road trip to Toronto, the faraway places. But anyhow, they got bombed on Monday. No good. Mike North was on the White Sox run line that game, too. But the Mariners with a nice win over the Twins to keep their losing streak going. Tonight, I'm going to play the Rays here. I think Drew Rasmussen's still undervalued in the market here, and the Rays are playing awfully well. If you look at Walker's advanced numbers, they're not that good, higher than his ERA is here. And so I made the Rays 138 in this game tonight, between 135 and 140. So I think there's a little value here. I'm fading the Cubs here. Cardinals have the momentum. Horrible way to lose that game last night if you're the Cubs. Pete Crow Armstrong not knowing how many outs there were. Ending up being the 8th run.
I got to point this out. He admitted after the game, he's like, I was terrible at playing baseball today.
Tonight, yep. Yeah. How will you get over it? I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up tomorrow, he said. Now you get Matthew Boyd. If you remember over the weekend, he took the hard liner back at him, or one hopper off his back, and he came out prematurely in that game against the Mariners. So do we know if he's well? I'm not saying he isn't, but I'll take Eric Fetty in a hot Cardinals team right now. I think the pressure is starting to mount on the Cubs. Obviously, that's a raucous atmosphere at either home park when those two rivals play. So let's ride the Cardinals at plus 133. We talked about Logan Webb, how good he's been at home. Cabrera's been very good his last two starts as well for the Marlins. I went under. We cashed the earlier under, first 5 under 3.5 in San Diego, 1-0. We'll try to cash the second one tonight.
Let me step in for a second here, because you asked me for his numbers overall on how many hits he's allowed in his 4 games at night at home so far this year. He has a 0.31 ERA, 21 hits in 4 starts. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's 6.5 tonight, but now, because we talked about it, it's moved. It's minus 175. Is it still worth a play, you think?
Not at 175. I was considering it at 155. I don't want to. I'd rather take under 5.5 and get it at even or a little plus, right? Yeah, but I don't see that in the market. Anyhow, we laid the 120 here for under 3.5 first 5. And then how about a Club World Cup play? You saw the most dominant team early, Bayern Munich, lose yesterday to the Portuguese giant Benfica. And they really struggled to score. They and PSG are the favorites in the tournament. I think this is a champagne tour for PSG after winning Champions League, coming over here. Who's got something to prove? They don't have any hardware all year. It's Man City, right? They've actually got something to play for. Plus, do you know how much the winning team gets, the winning club in this Club World Cup?
I'm guessing it's a lot of cash.
$21 million.
Wow.
Anybody that advances from group stage gets $1 million just from advancing from group stage into the knockout rounds. And then it goes up from there. So it's very lucrative. The ticket prices are outrageous, I'm hearing. Now, all these venues in the U.S., these tickets are $800-$900 a piece. The foreign fans are complaining about how expensive the tickets are. But this is, I think it's been great, too, in the daytime when there's little programming. I think Man City has the most to play for here and can use the money, the $21 million for their club. So they're the third choice. We've taken 5-1 to win it all.
All right, very good. There's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called Xcuta, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event, football, basketball, baseball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add even more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a three-month free betting subscription or bidding subscription, all you have to do is email support at xcuta.com and mention VSIN. xcuta.com, the future of future wagering. There you go. Email is open, ftm@vsin.com. We talked about the Circa Summer Special earlier today. From Brad, he just booked early July. He's asking me if I know if the $100 in credits have to be used at one setting or he can use like 50 here at this bar and 50 at another.
You know, you can use it any bar.
Any bar?
Any bar. You can split it up.
You can split it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And also tomorrow, this note, we will take you in. Well, Mitch and Mike Palm's Pizzeria, Paulie's out. We're going to open up the tip jar, sponsored by the best pizza in Texas, Mama's Pizza. So for those of you still making like long shot bets, there's never a a dead time to do this. So if you want to be on the show tomorrow, you can email us, ftm@vsin.com. Also on Twitter, good way as well, at VSIN Live. Probably a good spot to tag as well, but some long shot bets that you are in the process of making, maybe some cross-port parlays, and we'll run those down tomorrow on the program, Mike.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's
that'll
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of people were extremely live to either cross-port parlays with Oklahoma City to win the title or for Indiana just to win it on their own. No parlay, straight bet there.
I know you weren't here. You were still in San Diego, but the amount of money we took on Indiana on Sunday was incredible. That game went from being like a 400K swing for us because of the future markets to being a $1.5 million swing at 7.5 and 7.
Is that right?
Oh, nothing but Pacers money all day Sunday.
Oh, man.
We got very lucky, I think, with the Halliburton injury. I think they were very, definitely to cover, they were very live.
I would say to win the game.
Yeah, I thought once he went down, there was no shot of them winning. I give them credit. They hung in there. They were still leading at half.
Right.
But you can't turn the ball over that much. You just can't come down and keep turning the ball over four or five times a quarter with those empty trips against OKC.
Right. No, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, they were completely game for the first half. And after that, it just kind of fell apart. And you could tell after the game, I brought this up yesterday with humans, you could tell what it meant for all those players on that team to lose in the fashion of what in which they did. Not only just win, lose the game in a game seven where you can win the NBA title and it would have been such an amazing story, but to lose the game after they lost Tyrese Halliburton, like grown men are walking, and you don't see that every day in sports. Grown men who have made millions of dollars in their careers walking back to either like the bench or they're leaving the court, heads down, probably a bunch of tears as well. Like that, you don't see that every day in American sports. I actually thought it was kind of refreshing.
If they had this NBA player poll again that they did right before the playoffs, will he still be the most overrated player?
Well, I hope people stick to their guns, as dumb as they might look because of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What'd you think, by the way? Tim Murray brought up the case of betting Philadelphia 12-1 in that neighborhood to win the East next year. Can't do it?
No. No. I'd rather light my money on fire.
Ridiculous. You're that strong
Daryl
against
Morey.
It.
Come on. Enough already. Billy Cunningham ain't walking through that door.
I just, like, I get it because of everything that's going on with the other teams.
Can you rely on that team?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Maxey.
Okay.
Maxey's the guy. Other than that.
He can't carry you to the Eastern Conference title.
Stay tuned. Following us, a special NBA draft betting show, VSIN Primetime with Murray and Humans for 4 hours. Cashing Out follows. Wake Up Tomorrow with VSiN by the Books early 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Good luck betting tonight.